All right, Sabbath blessings, everyone. This mic sound. Let me know if it's coming in loud and clear. If it is, if it's sounding choppy, did have some issues with this thing previous week. I don't know. Let me see. I do hear it going up and down. I can't hear it through my headset because I don't have my headset. I want to just have the microphone before me. Okay, it sounds good. Okay, good. Okay, as Brother Nick spoke of earlier, we were having some issues with the computer and that email. I thought I replied to that email. Maybe I. Well, you know, it was the initial email. I replied to that. But I went in and I tweaked some things around. Kind of figured out what was going on with this thing, but it wants to work, and now the netbook wants to do its own thing. I was messing with the text chat, and then the computer just decided just want to just go off, and then I rebooted it, and then I would go to like a page, and then the computer would just go blank. So I'm like, what is going on? So just trying to figure out what's going on with it. Trying to figure out, you know, both the computers, and it's just things have been strange, so to speak. And I imagine it's, you know, with everyone, different things that are occurring in your lives, and you walk or you just see the enemy is doing all he can do to discourage you, to win you off the path. And I'm just with my own similar situation. And I don't mind getting personal sometimes, but this, you know, you can talk to people and, you know, open up with them, and I can talk with you guys because everyone here is going through their various tests and their trials that they're going through it. So I don't mind when it comes to things with me opening it up because it could be something used to help someone else. I have no idea. You don't know your actions, your words. They do have an influence. They do. Whether it be good or bad, so you want to speak those good words at all times. But with me, just that need of a help. I've never really, you know, put it into perspective like it really should be until, you know, moving here. Until moving here and seeing it all come together. You know, but also that need of a help me that's also on the same sheet of music. And when I'm told that the Bible isn't for all people, but for the Jews only, I can't agree with that. I can't agree with it. I can't, and I know the reason. I don't want to, you know, go too deep into it, but for those who do know my wife, and some of you even met her, you know, please keep her in prayer. I mean, keep both of us in prayer. I mean, it's hard. It's very, very hard when you spent, you know, your entire adult life with one person and then that connection is broken. It is very hard. It does have an impact. It has an impact on people, associations, children, and, you know, being here and then the enemy is just constantly pounding on a daily basis. And like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's just, it's annoying. It's extremely annoying, but I praise God for the word. I praise God for his mercy, and I praise God for the understanding of being here and coming to these revelations and knowing just what I need to know as far as being in this new environment. It's definitely an adjustment, and it's caused me to be even more inept in the word and even more I can't necessarily get the word, but more so in my face when it comes to my children, in their face, and trying to set the reality before them as far as what time it is, what's going on in the world, the end times, so they can go into it without fear. They're coming up in this generation where kids are being masked, you know, they're just... I never thought we would see anything like this in my entire life. I never thought it would be like this, but here we are at this point. And it's a responsibility as a parent, as a father, as a dad, to equip my children in the best way possible, even, you know, put aside my own personal adversity and make sure that they're ready. Because in any case, if something were to happen, then I have that duty to make sure that they are good to go. They are good to go, that they can stand firm and stand strong despite their peers, despite the world. They can continue to stand firm on the sure foundation, that foundation being the Word of God. And it was kind of weird, you know, last Sabbath, you know, not being able to come and talk to you guys. It really was. It really, really was. But as I was speaking to a sister about everything, it gave me an opportunity to actually go outside a little bit, get into some air, and just have some good conversations. You know, when she was telling me that, sometimes, you know, things can just get so overwhelming. We get so busy. We need that space. I mean, Pastor talks about it often, about, you know, going on a vacation, you know, but you just can't do it because of the work. You know, you love the work so much. Sometimes just need those breaks. You need those breaks. Just go out in the open air. Just really contemplate everything. Contemplate life. Contemplate what's going on. Just really, really put it into perspective. And it gave me an opportunity. You know, it seemed bad with the computer issues, but, you know, being able to go outside into the elements and just being able to breathe a little bit, it really, really, really did some good. And it really showed throughout this entire week. It showed throughout my children. It helped. It helped out a lot. And now we're back. And this, we want to try to get another computer. I know I spoke about this. I don't want this to happen again. So we're going to try to get another computer so we can do more things on it as far as some live streams and some broadcasts here in the future. So having said that, I do have a lot to get into, a lot, and I'm going to try to cover it as much as possible here in the hour that is given. It's always good. It's always good to talk about these things among the brethren. Again, I mean, I just know, again, just going back to what I said earlier, everyone is going through their own separate adversities, going through their own separate trials and tests. But, again, I might say something that you could be going through, something similar. Brother Sean might say something. Pastor might say something. Anyone who comes on the mic might say something, even in text chat. But you know what? I'm going through that exact same situation. I understand it. Like, oh, what did you do? How did you overcome? And 10 times out of 10, everyone in here is going to point you to Christ. Everyone in here is going to point you to Christ. And that is what unifies the brethren, is knowing that everyone is on that same sheet of music, knowing that Christ is the answer. He is the answer to every and all things. He is the answer. And having said that, we will go into our SOP reading here for today. We're going to just stay on the same date because it is the 17th. So I'm not going to go back and read the one from the 10th. I'm just going to stay on the 17th. And let's see here. We're still in the book, Ye Shall Receive Power. And the title is Rejoicing in the Word. Rejoicing in the Word. And it is April 17th. And there he goes again. I know something's going on with my netbook. See, now the turbo meeting is fine on this computer, but now the netbook keeps blanking in and out. So it's obviously something is going on here that I'm going to have to address with this computer. So bear with me, brethren, because I cannot see the text chat at all. It goes blank. I don't know what is going on with this thing. But I do have all my notes on something separate, so I'll be able to read them, which you got. I just cannot follow the text chat right now because the computer is black. I'm looking at a black screen. All right, so the key verse here is Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. And if you were listening to the 1 o'clock, but it's something that Brother Nick just echoed earlier. So I like how those studies kind of come together. I promise you that this is, I mean, you can see this with the brethren many times where John will say something, Brother Eli will say something, and they didn't, you know, go off each other's studies. But just so happens the verses kind of correlate together, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's nothing but the Holy Spirit. And this is a very, very familiar verse that many have read. And again, Brother Nick had just spoke about this verse earlier in the 1 p.m. study. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And she says, there is constant need of patience, gentleness, self-denial, and self-sacrifice in the exercise of Bible religion. But if the Word of God is made an abiding principle in our lives, everything with which we have to do, each word, each trivial act, will reveal that we are subject to Jesus Christ, that even our thoughts have been brought into captivity to him. And I think Brother Sean was talking about it in the sermon, about the thoughts, and you just sometimes they just go all over the place, they're racing, because you know that the enemy, he's just constantly just talking, speaking, whispering, just trying to do whatever he can to get you to go off the path. But if the word of God is received into the heart, it will empty the soul of self-sufficiency and self-dependence. Our life will be a power for good, because the Holy Spirit will fill our minds with the things of God. The religion of Christ will be practiced by us, for our wills are in perfect conformity to the will of God. I don't know if y'all can probably hear that sound on my computer every time. I'm going to have to, I just lower the volume for now and that. Right. Satan also knows the power of the word, or just words in general. So he uses his own methods to suppress the word. And this next headline may seem trivial because of where it's occurring, but it's quite clear. If you look at this country of Australia, it's being used as a model or a testing ground for the Great Reset, a.k.a. the New World Order. Headline, federal government considers forcing Australians to provide ID to use social media and dating sites. Using ID. I'm going to read a little excerpt from this article here. It says, Australians could be banned from creating anonymous social media and dating profiles under radical reform considered by the government. The change received people forced to submit identification, such as a passport or driver's license, before setting up an account for platforms including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tinder. Just another reason why if you're on Facebook to get off of it. I mean, I remember when I tried to come back to it, I tried to get back, I had a Facebook account before. I was using it to post things online. It wasn't really getting a lot of attention, so to speak, because people are drawn to negative for some reason. Anything negative they want to see, if it's positive, they want nothing to do with it. That's just showing a picture of your dinner that you had last night. And, you did good, but they don't want to see that, and this is negative. So I tried to get it back going, and I guess it wasn't meant to be, because they were asking, because I just forgot all the information for the account. I knew the email, but I didn't know the password anymore. They were asking for identification. They were asking for an ID in order to reinstate the account. I said, why are they doing that? That it didn't make any sense to me that they would be asking for such things. And I saw from speaking to other people that this has happened before. So Facebook was already implementing this technology years ago. To identify exactly who it is that uses their platform. Because anyone can create an account, but now they want to nail it down to the exact person. And now by using identification, they'll know exactly who it is. So that way they can track the person who's posting such things that go against the narrative. And you can see how this is a way to suppress truth. And now they're using this in Australia. Not just on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, but even on these dating websites that they declare. And this will only expand. This will expand to all internet. It's not being able to use anything without some sort of identification. if anyone's ever worked in the government, I have. I was also in the military and worked for the government as a federal contractor for 10 years. Being able to use the computer, you had to have an identification created by the government. And that ID pretty much had your entire life on. Everything about you, it had fingerprint data, all kinds of stuff. It had your name, and just to be able to get on the installation, you had to present the card, and it would be scanned. And they would know right then and there, because I would see the guys, I would see the little scanners that we use, it had your face populate and everything. They would know whether to accept you or reject you. A little green thing, a little green sign would come up, or a red card would come up to reject the person. Even with the computer, you could not use the computer without inserting that card. It had a little chip on the end of it. So the government is already using this technology. Now they're introducing that same concept to the public and doing it with Australia. And they're using these reasons, we don't want these people, with their radical agendas, using our platforms. You want to make sure the person is who they say they are. We don't want them creating fake accounts. And they'll give their reasons. And they'll present these reasons to the people, and the people will look at it like, that's okay. That's all right. We like that. We like that. All in the name of security. Just like they did with 9/11. Just like they did with the terrorist attacks that happened in 9/11. Even though, the Patriot Act was implemented, everyone in America had a cell phone in their hand. Have we experienced another terrorist attack on an airplane since? We haven't. We haven't. And it's been 20 years come September since that happened. Yet people are not, okay with it. No one complains about the invasive measures that TSA uses. You may get one every so often, but now it's become a normal thing just to go to the airport. And you're subject to TSA, the pat-downs. Before, that wasn't a thing. So now this is just their way to introduce this to the people. And you want to be online? Well, we got to know who you are. We need your ID. We don't want any kind of, no attacks. We don't want any kind of, negative things to occur. So they use this. And the people are just totally okay with it. They're totally okay. So you have to be, diligent to this, what is going on in Australia, because sure enough, brothers and sisters, it's going to come here in America. It's going to come here where you're not going to be able to get online without the government knowing. They already know what it is. They already know who you are based on your ISP, geographic location, even with your cell phones. They can pinpoint the location. You might not have your name and ID attached to it, but at least they know where you're at. Based on the GPS data or the geofencing, so they know. So you combine that with some sort of identification, and they'll know who you are, what you're posting, and what you're doing at all times. So definitely want to pay attention to what's happening here in Australia and the excuses they'll bring up as more means to enforce these measures that are draconian, so to speak. Going on in the readings, he says, some who profess to have true religion sadly neglect the guidebook given by God to point the way to heaven. They may read the Bible, but merely reading God's word, as one would read words traced by a human pen, will give only a superficial knowledge. Talking of the truth will not sanctify the receivers. They may profess to be working for God when were Christ among them, his voice will be heard saying, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Such cannot know what true religion means. Now, it's this same word that points men to Christ in the very transforming of mind, body, and soul through sanctification and obedience to that word. And as Brother Sean has addressed many, many times in sermons and studies, health reform is part of said transformation. Being diligent and cautious in what we eat is very, very, very important. But men today have little to no regard for the environment or the beast that dwell therein. All they care about is profit. So it is a surprise, or is it a surprise, when we see more and more environmental calamities occurring worldwide that future injure the environment and the food supply? I'm not seeing this headline. I was like, how is this even possible? How is this even allowed? But this one here is saying Japan is going to release Fukushima treated radioactive water into the sea. Just let it go right on out. What kind of health impact do you think that would have, not just on the water in general, but on the food supply, the animals that are flowing in the water? I mean, I just read just a couple of days ago, either a couple of days ago or about a week ago, about these great whales. There's about four or five of them just kind of dead. I mean, these are huge animals. So what is killing these animals? And we've already known for years about the mass animal deaths that are occurring all over the globe and still occurring. You can't keep up with them because it happens on a daily basis. But now here are these even more incentive by Japan doing what they do, what kind of effect not only on the animals, but on you and me, with this water just being, you know, radioactive water. The same as what happened in Michigan with the water that was released there that was toxic. I mean, who knows what's inside this stuff? And for it just to be allowed here, definitely will have some type of environmental impact. I mean, what kind of impact is going to have now and in the future? So health is something definitely to consider, even with your water. Even with the water. I mean, I know I have well water, but I know you still got to filter that water. You still got to filter it, even with your bottled water. I mean, do you know where that bottled water came from? You have to filter it. You have to make sure that it's good and suitable for the body, as if anything you put in it. This is why it should be so strong in rejecting the vaccine, because you don't know what's inside the shot. You don't know. They may give the ingredient list, and they may say on the news and give out the different, you know, experts and doctors or what have you. But me, in my personal research, I just find it odd that with, you know, some people who are taking the AstraZeneca or the Pfizer, having literally no effect. Or at least no effect that we can see currently. And then with other people, they take the shot, and then within a few days or hours, even minutes, they're dead. So why even run the risk? Why even take the chance on putting something in your body that doesn't belong there? So it, you know, even more important when it comes to the things that we put in our body, to as far as health is concerned. And now we see what is being done here in Japan. I mean, this thing is happening. It's going to have an effect. It is. And it's just allowed, like, it's nothing. Oh, it's okay. Just release this water out of the sea, so it's no big deal. No big deal. No big deal at all. Moving on. The words that I speak unto you, said Christ, they are spirit and they are light. John 6:63. Jeremiah testifies to the word of God, saying, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. There is divine healing in God's word, which the so-called wise and prudent cannot experience, but which is revealed to babes. I mean, speaking of healing, is it not written in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, that the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his flesh? Simply put, doing good is a moral obligation, and that which is good was etched on those two tables of stone at Mount Sinai and perfected in the life of Christ. Is it not also written in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, that wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good? It's also written in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So we see how doing good and being healthy are intertwined. It is also good to do good, to be charitable and loving. As for no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes. And then close out that verse, even as the Lord the church, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. But the two beasts of Revelation have declared their own versions of good. I mean, is not doing good a moral obligation that all creatures are subject unto? That all living souls are in a valid decision right now, making a choice to do good or evil on a daily basis. Everyone, adults and children. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. But the enemy, Satan's moral authority on earth, the Pope, says doing good is your moral obligation. Evangelicals, influencers, athletes, and many in the media are pointing and encouraging many to go out and get this vaccine instead of driving men toward the great healer, the great physician. Some even go out of their way to say that if Jesus was among us today, he would get the vaccine and would encourage others to do the same. Some are offering money to get the shot. In others, ice cream. I saw that the other day in Russia. I think I spoke about it before. And marijuana, weed, beer. Samuel Adams, go and get your COVID shot and get a free beer. And all these other goodies and incentives to go and get this shot when the question can be asked, if this was so deadly as the media proclaims, then people will be knocking and banging on the doors of all these clinics to receive this vaccine. And even after you get the shot, now you have these vaccine companies are saying, you're going to need another one and another shot. You're going to keep on needing these shots and booster shots to combat the COVID mutations. But as far as I can see, and I'm going to take this from a meme that I looked at the other day, the only mutations that I'm seeing is the lies, the constant lies about COVID and this pandemic. So is it a surprise when we see headlines like this straight from both beasts in Revelation? Headline, getting vaccinated is a moral obligation. Biden and Pope unite over vaccine rollout. This is from mainstream. This is from MSN. It's a very short article. I'm going to read. President Joe Biden has adopted a strong stance on vaccinations, stating in his Easter address that receiving a vaccine is a moral obligation. So they make, and you're doing good if you go out and get this death-dealing shot. You're doing a good thing. That's what they say. In line with the view previously expressed by Pope Francis. So there we go. Both beasts, the second and the first, uniting. We share the sentiments of Pope Francis, who said that getting vaccinated is a moral obligation. While wishing Americans a happy Easter, the president reminded the public that virus is not gone, but with faith, hope, and love, anything is possible. So just love our neighbor by encouraging them to take this shot that is still under clinical phase 3 trials. To encourage them to take a shot for a virus that has never been isolated. We can go on and on and on and present your calls and your cases for the people, but as long as they're hearing the news, as long as they're hearing the radio and different advertisements encouraging them to get it, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. They are. And the two beasts are not going to stop no time soon pushing this thing. I mean, the mark is steamrolling toward us, brothers and sisters, at a rapid pace. The majority of people, when you talk to them one-on-one, they know deep down, they know that COVID is a hoax. They know it. They know it's all a lie. But because of their significant other, or because of their parents, or because of their children, because, hey, I don't want to get my children sick, you know, I don't want to get them sick. I'm going to get this shot just for my kids. I had someone tell me that. Or their jobs. That's going to be a big thing with a lot of people, is that they want to be obligated to get the shot because of their jobs. The jobs are telling them to go out and get it. It's even happened with mine. I mean, when we first moved into the new building, it was like a rumor that was going around. You know, oh, we're moving to this new place, so now it's going around that everyone has to get the shot. Now, I haven't heard anything directly, but You know, I'm pretty firm on my stance, as many here are. Not going to get this thing. Not going to get it and fully prepared. And if that day comes, we'll say, hell, you terminated because of it, then so be it. Then so be it. But this is what they're going to do. They're going to, you know, take away your ability to work because you decide. You make the free will decision to say, no, I'm not going to get this thing. Same thing for the schools. Same thing for a lot of the schools. We're now, you know, different colleges and universities saying that you cannot enroll your child into school this upcoming freshman year unless your child is fully vaccinated. So now the attack has shifted to the children. But they ain't even running these trials on babies. On babies. Running these trials on babies. And these kids are facing the effects. But again, you go and talk to these people, and they know. They know that COVID is outright lies. They know it. But because of their associations, because of their jobs, because of their friends, their families, who are fully engaged in the hype, they seek to go out and get the COVID vaccine. And they proudly display it. They proudly display it on their social media, on their Facebook pages. They're happy to go and get it. And in most cases, you'll see people who will post that they received the vaccine, and a few days later, they're reading obituaries because they're dead. We see China fully on board with the vaccine rollout. Matter of fact, a couple of days ago, I read this article where they are petitioning the use of the vaccine passport system. That's coming. To say that this here is an understatement. It's an understatement. We're already seeing proposals in New York. We're already seeing states who are saying, no, we're not going to have this. We're not going to have these vaccine rollouts. But now we have entire countries that are pushing this, that are pushing the vaccine passports. We see the United Kingdom. The people are cool. They are cool with the passport by declaring that if it returns us to normal, then we will go and get it. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this normal that they are seeking is a normal that is never coming back. Despite what is being told on the mainstream media, despite what they read, the normal that you and I know it, that normal is gone. They are transforming everything radically, and by using COVID as a means for that transformation. They say it's normal. It's not normal. Everything as a result of this COVID coronavirus and the measures that they're implementing is not normal at all. In the name of COVID, they say putting a chip in your brain to link you to the Neuralink network is normal. And they fluff it up to make it sound normal by saying that, let's just put an excerpt from this article here. About Neuralink and these brain chips that they're saying going to be in brains of people all over the world by the end of this year. This article says, Neuralink also hopes to provide implants with the capability to boost intelligence and potentially cure neurological diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. These diseases that are caused by vaccines. These metals, these mercuries and aluminum that they put inside these shots that are messing up people's heads, their brains, deep. And if they were doing this then with these vaccinations, there's no telling what they're doing now with these new vaccinations that are being released. Besides killing people, the long-term effects there happen. But hey, putting a chip in your brain and linking you to AI is going to solve that. All in the name of COVID. Or is getting a COVID-detecting chip under your skin to detect the symptoms of COVID. Is that normal? I mean, I know this is a normal article, but you know, I just want to kind of make up some ground. But reading this and then showing the 60-minute interview where this guy is in the lab and they're talking about it, what the thing's going to do. Basically, it's going to detect the symptoms before you have symptoms. Like, what is that? What is this? It's an excerpt from this article here. The writers at the New York Post are telling conspiracy theorists to relax and not get bent out of shape because they are not being decimated via vaccines. According to the details of the report, the technology was developed by Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is known as DARPA, which operates under the Pentagon umbrella. So this is direct military involvement. Direct military involvement in detecting for symptoms for COVID before they become symptoms. Direct military involvement with Operation Warp Speed, which we talked about a few months ago. Direct military involvement with the administration of the vaccines. We have National Guards who are administering vaccines all over the world who are helping us on these test sites. So we have National Guard who are stationed at these various locations where these riots are occurring. And D.C. is just loaded with military. We're going to get into that a little bit later. We'll talk about the second beast and its military influence. But you see who is the main player when it comes to this whole vaccine rollout. They may push these companies like AstraZeneca and Pfizer and Moderna, but in the backdrop, the military is still there as the ones that are in control of it. This article goes on to say, on this past Sunday night's broadcast of 60 Minutes, the report revealed that the top secret unit was launched during the Cold War to study emerging technology for military use. The technology is not widespread to the public outside the Department of Defense, according to a retired Army colonel named Matt Hebron, who is an infectious disease physician, who has more details on the use of the microchip. He went on further to say that it could detect COVID in an individual well before a patient's zero spawns an outbreak. I mean, you can see this going bad, 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 very quickly. We challenge the research community to come up with solutions that may sound like science fiction, said Hepburn, whose role at DARPA, he added, is to take pandemics off the table. The doctor compared the diagnostic microchip to a car's check engine light. Promise. 60 Minutes was also quick to refute conspiracy theories that claim that Microsoft Bill Gates is using vaccines as a way to insert a microscopic global positioning system into our bodies. The report clarified that DARPA's chip would not track your every move, nor is it being administered via shots, as some would-be twist loose have pondered. I can say, brothers and sisters, that is a bold-faced lie. By their own admissions, that is a bold-faced lie. I mean, DOD has already confirmed via Apicheck and Inovio that RFID technology will be used with every vaccine. Or what about the tech that would be used to activate these chips, as quoted here from this article from Inovio. Inovio would use the Department of Defense funding, so here goes the military again, to support the large-scale manufacturing and procurement of the company's Celestra 3 PSP smart device, which is used to deliver Eno 4800 directly into the skin. Now, let's talk about the purpose of having this device and injecting it into your skin. This article says, the device, which resembles an electric toothbrush and runs on two AA batteries, uses a brief electric pulse to reversibly open small pores to cells to allow the DNA plasmids to enter. Once inside the cell, the DNA plasmids, which are small, circular, double-stranded DNA molecules, direct the cells to produce a targeted antigen that triggers the desired T cell and antibody-mediated immune responses against COVID. Gene therapy, gene manipulation, which they say is going to be activated via an outside source, an electric impulse. We can't forget the 5G implications, can we? They're putting this directly into your body and it's activated via an outside source, via an a frequency. And who knows what that can do to the individual once it's activated. You know, having this light dormant in your body. See, as anyone who's ever had shingles and having that vaccine, having it lie dormant in your body, and then all of a sudden you get these random breakouts. You're wondering why, what is going on? There's something that's in your body. It is now, you know, manipulating your cells. And this is on an even grander scale. But for CNN, for 60 Minutes to say something like that is not true. But what about the nanotechnology equipped in the shots, employed in the shots that are equipped with temperature sensors, pressure sensors, humidity sensors, and a fully functioning GPS tracking system? And these things, this nanotech is so small, but if you ever just really got into it and examined some of these things, it's like little small mini computers. And these things are awesome. I mean, but and you can put them anywhere. You can put them in the food, in the water. You can shoot them out of a plane via chemtrails, or the most efficient method is to inject it directly into the skin. Is that normal? In the name of COVID, it's not normal. It's not. But what about COVID taking the time out for America to go out and riot and protest? Are those normal? Portland riots, are those normal? Minnesota. Is that normal? What's going on there? Increasing homicide rates. Is that normal? I mean, seeing what is done amongst our young people now, whose hearts are just grown so cold. I mean, right now, there's so many of them, they have no respect for life. And that's because our entire society has been teaching them to have no respect for life, not even their own life. Every single day, the media is stirring up some kind of hate, some kind of division, over and over and over. It's just nonstop. It just go back and forth between COVID division, COVID division. Every single day. You look at what's going on in these cities. There's some of these statistics that are pulled up between these homicide rates that are occurring just in this year alone. New York homicide rate up 45%. Chicago, 55%. L.A., 38%. D.C., 20%. Philly, 40%. Louisville, 70%. I've been to that city. I love that city. But to go there and live there, not a chance. 70%. Cincinnati, 28%. Detroit, 19%. Cleveland, 40%. Houston, 42%. Indianapolis, 40, and I imagine that's going to keep increasing. It's in the national spotlight that that's what it's getting right now. Denver, 50%. Fresno, 64%. I mean, just more and more and more reasons to get out of these cities ASAP. And if you can't at the moment, pray. The door will open. And I drag my feet on moving. But it happened. It happened. I can tell you, the enemy tries over and over and over with these pesky and annoying whispers to have me regret that decision. Like, what are you going to do? He'll say, you're a stranger in a strange land. You know, you got the new job, a new area, a new house. You got all this unfamiliarity. You know, you see all this civil unrest going on in your state, in Georgia. What about those voting laws? What about this Georgia FEMA call? What about those Georgia guidestones in your backyard? I mean, just over and over and over. Stop with this stuff. But I'm like, you know, you can talk all this all you want. Adversary. There's a reason I'm here. And when God reveals that reason in due season, I'll know. Even if it's a co-worker, a writer, a neighbor, whoever it may be that needs to hear this message, so be it. Even if it's just one person, so be it. New normal. When you come to Christ, your normal isn't what the world considers normal. Your life experiences a dramatic change. Their normal is false. Their normal is perverted and outright abominable. are people desiring to marry their own children normal? We knew the door to moral decay was swung wide open with the legalization of homosexual marriage. But now we have perversions like these that are no longer being considered taboo, but they say are part of the new norm. Headline. New York parent seeks okay to marry their own child. This is where we're at, brothers and sisters. This is where we're at. Things are not going to get any better no time soon until that eastern sky splits wide open. What about the calamities here on our earth? The earthquakes and the weather. Is that normal? What we see what's going on with the weather? And speaking of the weather and the unification of the two beasts we just spoke about earlier, did you catch this headline? Joe Biden says America is back. What does that mean for U.S. Vatican relations? In a recent interview with Archbishop Gallagher, the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States, we were told the following. The Archbishop was confident that the United States, with John Kerry and Mr. Climate Change himself, spearheading the effort as a special presidential envoy for climate, can become a leader in the fight against climate change. I mean, is Christian prophecy just that accurate or what? Is that accurate? To say America can and will become a leader in the world against climate change, that's just not me just saying it. That's not, that is a plan. That is a plan of the beast. And it's given to us in the prophetic word. I mean, look at what else this article revealed. It also said that America has a role nearly everywhere in the world. Archbishop Gallagher said, and we are in a moment of time in which there are numerous conflicts and problems around the world. And who's that problem solver? Just the moral authority himself, using the second beast to carry out and do his dirty work. America certainly does have a role in every nation in the world. I mean, no other nation in modern history has come anywhere, not even close to the control and influence that America has over this globe. Not even close. I want to link out this video on Telegram, but I saw this about a couple of weeks ago. But it's this guy. You know, he was interested in learning about American military bases. And he had made this map. He had talked to many people. He had did a lot of travels. He was just talking to different soldiers, Marines, sailors, Air Force cadets, what have you, about different posts, different bases, and he put together this map detailing everyone that was known. And I mean, this thing had dots that covered the entire globe. American bases are all over this planet, all over. I mean, it was so bad you can literally rename every country America because those little flags were everywhere. American bases and posts are everywhere, on every corner of this earth. I'm going to post that. I'm going to post that there. Matter of fact, there was one little thing he said in here. If I can find that. There's this one guy. He had went overseas. He had went to this new country. I think he was either in Dubai. Ah, man. I don't know where he was at. But when he first got there, you know, coming from America, he didn't know, you know, too much about, you know, the country itself. The native tongue, their customs, so he felt kind of out of place. But in his travels, and the country ended up going to this place, this base. I can't think of the name of the base that's there, but he was there. And he was saying that while he was there, just like being back home. He was like being back home. Everything was completely Americanized. He forgot he was even in a foreign country. He saw the clothing was American. The food was American. The culture was American. The English on all the street signs, everything was American. So he felt like he was back home. He saw the Taco Bells and the McDonald's and the Wendy's, and he saw all the music. And this is how it is. I know when I was overseas, I mean, Kuwait, when I first got there, I knew I was in a foreign country. I knew where I was at, looking at the signs, looking at the people. But slowly but surely, Brown and Root had started transforming the base where we were at. It went from small little tents and enclosures to had buildings up that were completely Americanized. And then before you know it, they slow rolled these little fast food trailers. So they had a Subway you can go to and get something to eat. They had Burger King, and I can't think there were more. This was back in 2003. So I speak to people now who have been to Arab John, they just tell me, like, man, it's just like being right back home. It's like being back at home again. And this is how it was to me when I was there. And we talk about 18 years ago when they had brought little basketball courts. They had set up so much stuff to make it as American as possible. Had them people distributing cell phones. They had little theaters we can go in and watch movies. They were all American. Everything was American. So can you imagine being in these countries? And then you wonder why a lot of these natives don't like America so much, because the American influence. They can't even have their experience in their own culture, in their own country, because America come in there and take over. And this is all over the world, literally all over the world. There is some type of American influence, whether it be a big, huge base, you know, as many of us see here in America. And even me, you know, I'm realizing that every state I've lived in, I've lived next to or near a major military base, every single one of them. Even being out of the service, even being in Virginia, being right next to Little Creek, or NOB, I mean, it was huge. It's the biggest Navy base on the west, on the East Coast. It's huge. Or being in Carolina, and being, you know, living right next to Parris Island, where they train and recruit and train Marines. It's either you're going to California on the West Coast, or you're coming to South Carolina as a Marine, or having, you know, Fort Jackson right at the road, or not being here in Georgia, where you have Fort Gordon, a big, huge infantry base. Or Fort Stewart, another huge infantry base. Or Fort Benning, which is just a couple of hours away, another huge infantry base. I mean, America influences all over. It makes, without a doubt, who is the second beast in Revelation. Without a doubt. So just as God has given us the real and true moral authority, Satan has introduced the counterfeit that shall and will exercise all the power of the first beast before him, and calls it the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That first beast being Rome, Antichrist, and the popes, and the second beast being America. It's just lay this out, and it's not hard or difficult to discern who these two beasts are. The influence and the power the military has, how easy it will be when it comes time to enforce the mark. They're already using the military when it comes to enforcing the vaccines. When they have those vaccine rollouts, when they would do it in overseas, they would go to Africa, to all these different countries, they would always have, you know, these service members, or I can't think of the name of that group. Oh my goodness, I wanted to do it a long time ago. It was a non-profit agency. And they would go to these different countries, and I cannot think of the name of it for nothing. I cannot think of the name of it. But they would go to different countries, and they would help administer foreign aid to different third world countries. And the military pretty much does something similar. So it would be no problem when it comes to administering the vaccine all over the world, particularly here in America. The same will incur when it comes time to enforce the mark. Same thing. We go to any military base on Sunday, the base is pretty much a ghost town. It's shut down every single Sunday. And when you first sign up in the service, you have to declare your religion. You have to declare. And they don't go through this, the thousands and thousands of denominations. It's pretty simple. Either you are the very first one, I think on the first line, will be Catholic. That was the very first line. And the Catholic service got presidents over every other service. They were the first ones to have service in the morning. So you had to wait for them to finish. So if you was a Protestant, so if you was a Baptist, if you were Lutheran, you were Methodist, whatever it may be that falls under that umbrella, it's pretty much class you into the Protestant faith, or that Protestant category. Even though each denomination had its differences, it didn't matter to the military. See, it doesn't matter to the military. This is what you're going to be. You're a prophet. Nothing more, nothing less. This is what you are. So it either had the Catholic service, and it had the Protestant service, and no, they didn't. It went too big on the Muslim service. There was one more. I want to say they had something for the Jews. I want to say that. But now they've kind of like, no, I know what it was. It was like Buddhist. That's what it was. It was like in the evening time, they would have that service right around 1600, 1500, so to speak, something like that. They would have service for people who had that type of religious background. So if you were like a Buddhist, whatever kind of falls into that category, they would have that. So that's what you were. And they would mix all those people going to the service in the same chapel on Sunday. So if you were an Adventist, you know, if you were Seventh Day, you didn't get that exception. You didn't get it. I mean, if you didn't have a religion like during the military, then there you go, because you're not going to be able to keep the Seventh Day Sabbath. You're not. Not going to allow it. You're going to have duty, you're going to work, whatever it may be. Now, granted, you get to your permanent duty station, then, yeah, you'll have Saturdays also. You'll be able to, worship. But that's not going to guarantee that you're going to be home on sundown that Friday evening. Not also going to guarantee that you might not have duty that Saturday. You can have it that Friday evening. That means you're going to that Friday evening, you have that duty, and then you're not going to be relieved to the very next day. So you're working. You're not also not guaranteed for being deployed and or going into the field for an exercise, or even going to qualify on a weapons range. You're probably going to go on a day that's going to contradict what your belief, what your faith. So even more reasons not to go into the service. But they're going to make sure that on Sundays, you're going to have those Sundays off. You're going to have them off. So they've already declared their stance when it comes to Sundays based on who's over them. And that is the popes in Rome. I'm going to close out here with this last paragraph from Ye Shall Receive Power. And it says, the entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, 130. If this word is enshrined in the heart, it becomes the treasure house of the mind from which we bring forth things new and old. We no longer find pleasure in thinking of the common things of earth, but say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's verse 105 of Psalms 119. So, I didn't go too far over. But all of those links and everything we talked about here, those articles, that video, I will post in the Telegram here shortly, if not today, tomorrow, Lord's willing, I'll have to have those posted for you guys. Probably going to take the kiddos out here for a little walk before the sun goes down. It's a nice day outside. We go out and get some open air. So it is the top of the hour. I don't know, brother, are you doing the 5 p.m. study as well there, Brother Sean, or is someone else stepping up? Oh, okay, good. All right. Double duty. All right, man. So I'm going to lower my mic, and the next voice you will hear be that of Brother Sean. All right. Have a blessings, everyone. I love you all, and